My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is president of the Galen Institute, one of the most respected healthcare policy organizations in the nation. Grace Marie has joined us on many occasions to discuss the latest political and legal developments in the healthcare debate. But today we're going to take a look at the big picture, namely how both public and private bureaucracy have really bogged down healthcare over the years and impacted both the quality and the cost. And Grace Marie, it's always great to be with you. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Greg.
Let's briefly go back to the time before the Affordable Care Act was passed. I know in some ways that's hard to remember, given all the debate we've covered over the past 8 years, but just about everyone agreed the system at that time could be better. So we'll talk about the impact of the Obama plan in a moment, but what were the biggest headaches before then, and how much of a burden was bureaucracy then, whether it be from the government or insurance companies or others in the private sector?
Many people felt that there were so many rules and regulations on health insurance even before the Affordable Care Act that it was making health insurance increasingly unaffordable to millions of people. So we had a large uninsured population, but we also had states burdened with mountains of regulations on their Medicaid programs, insurance companies in many states on what they had to sell, what policies had to cover if they were going to be able to provide health insurance for people in their states. And all of those were increasing costs. And the more expensive health insurance is, the less likely people are going to be able to afford it. So what the Affordable Care Act did is try to put so much more money into the health sector that what it wound up doing is making health insurance even more expensive. So we actually have an exacerbation of the problem that we started with before.
Let's go back even a little bit, perhaps even a lot before that, and government involvement in healthcare. Is it when Medicare and Medicaid came in? Did states start getting involved even before that? How did this ball get rolling?
Certainly, Greg. I mean, the Medicare and Medicaid Act were passed in 1965, and so we have had growing involvement of the federal government and state government in the provision of healthcare for decades, and that has made it healthcare and health coverage, health care more expensive, and health coverage more unaffordable for millions of people. And we wind up also with the Food and Drug Administration increasingly requiring so much more documentation in their clinical trials that it is driving up the cost of drugs. It takes 12 years and $2.5 billion to bring one new drug to market. Because of that regulatory policy, we wind up with a system in which more and more people are complaining about the cost of drugs. But we need to look at, why is that happening? It's happening because of government rules and regulations. It's happening because of too much bureaucracy weighing the system down.
All right, let's talk about the Affordable Care Act now. And we've talked about the thousands and thousands of pages of regulations. What are the most burdensome ones, and which ones particularly affect the doctor-patient relationship most, do you think?
You know, there's growing effort on the part of both public and private insurers to ratchet down the cost of the premiums. But what that has meant, particularly in the Affordable Care Act, is that often patients with significant needs are finding that they have to pay thousands of dollars out of pocket before they can access care. And even when they do, they are often limited in the treatments that their doctors are able to prescribe for them. So the fact that the insurers are trying to save money is winding up often disadvantaging the people who most need care, who have really nowhere else to go for their coverage than oftentimes the ACA exchanges or Medicaid. The restrictions on access to doctors being able to prescribe the treatments that people most want is really a serious problem with the ACA, and one that needs to be addressed with the new legislation that's making its way through Congress.
One last question on the Affordable Care Act, and you mentioned that the effort to keep premiums down, I think that might surprise some people. That was certainly the promise that they would be kept down. Ultimately, that didn't happen, although subsidies in some cases helped to greatly defray those costs for people. So ultimately, what is the impact of the Affordable Care Act on the cost?
Well, as we know, the cost just in the last year, the average cost of the health insurance in the ACA exchanges increased by 25%. But in some places like Arizona, they increased an average of 116%. So those kind of price increases are clearly not sustainable, particularly for coverage that many people feel does not provide them with access to the care that they need, including the medicines that are most appropriate for the illness or the problem, the chronic conditions they may have.
All right, let's talk about the American Health Care Act now. That's the Republican replacement plan. It's controversial on both sides of the aisle. The Democrats don't like it. There's some debate among Republicans as well. But in terms of dealing with the bureaucracy, like we've been talking about, whether it's newer bureaucracy that we've seen in the last 7 years with the Affordable Care Act, or even what we've seen over the past 50 plus years since government got involved in healthcare, and of course the private sector has had an involvement as well, how much would that change? How much unraveling would there be? How much additional, perhaps, bureaucracy would there be?
Congress is constrained through the process by which it needs to pass this legislation to provisions that directly impact spending and taxation. They really can't impact the regulations. One of the things that Dr. Tom Price, the new Secretary of Health and Human Services, wants to do is to look at the regulations within the Affordable Care Act and see what powers he has. 1,400 places it says either the Secretary shall or the Secretary may, to see where he can give people relief from regulatory policy. Also, Dr. Scott Gottlieb has been nominated to be the new Commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. He understands the industry. He understands the health sector as a physician. He understands the FDA, having served as an associate commissioner there. And he understands Medicare and Medicaid, having worked at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. So here's somebody who understands the bureaucracy. He understands the regulations. He understands the industry. And he's a physician who wants to take care of patients. I think this is a brilliant nomination, and somebody who will work with Dr. Price, will work with the White House, and I believe will work with Congress in trying to give people more opportunities for more affordable coverage as well as more as affordable access to more drugs that they need.
Do you feel like we'll see less government involvement if this passes?
No, but what will happen is that we will move much of the regulatory policy over insurance to the state level. The federal government has proven it is way out of its league in trying to regulate health insurance. These cookie-cutter plans in the ACA did not work for most people. People need to have many more choices. They have said that loud and clear, and giving states the opportunity to not only be able to approve more health insurance policies that give people more choices, but also be able to have more flexibility with their Medicaid programs. So instead of trying to jump through all of Washington's hoops with the Medicaid program, they can really begin to take ownership and say, how do we spend these dollars to get people the care they need? And in many cases, that may be prescribing, giving the doctors the authority to prescribe medicines that may be more expensive because they're newer, but that may wind up saving a lot of money over the long term. There's new research that shows that for every dollar that is spent on a new medicine, the health system will save $6.50 on other medical care. So spending money up front can save money in the long term, and most importantly, they can give people the best care that they need. And there are restrictions now from doctors being able to prescribe the treatments that their patients most need. And giving more flexibility to the system, giving more flexibility to patients to be able to choose the kind of coverage that works for them is what this law is designed to do, to devolve power not only to states, but ultimately to individuals to be able to make decisions so they and their doctors can work together to make sure they're getting the care and therefore the coverage they need.
Last topic before we let you go, Grace Marie, you've mentioned a couple times now drug prices and the need to deal with those. That's a concern of many people. And President Trump has mentioned that he would like to deal with those, lower them, negotiate. He hasn't offered a ton of specifics on that yet. What's the smart way to make those more affordable?
This is a really complicated and multifaceted problem. Getting drugs to market faster so that we can speed up the discovery to market now takes 12 years and $2.5 billion. If we can shorten that timeline, then the companies can save money and they can have a lower price for their drugs. But it's important also to have more transparency of where these dollars are actually going. There are a lot of middlemen in the system right now. Pharmacy benefit managers and others, a lot of rebates that the drug companies have to pay in order to be able to provide their drugs to market. All of those take money out of the healthcare dollar and put them into other places that don't provide as much value to patients. And as a result, I think more transparency in the system so people understand where their healthcare dollar, where their pharmaceutical dollars are going, and understand the real price of that drug, I believe that more transparency is going to lead to smarter negotiation and getting drug prices down without price controls. We know that price controls don't work. We also know that drug importation doesn't work. Basically, what you're trying to do is import price controls from another country. What you may wind up doing is importing drugs that are very substandard, often produced in third world countries who do not have the standards that we do with the Food and Drug Administration. There are no checks on this. You not only can pay, you may be able to pay less for that cancer drug you want, but you may wind up with a drug that does not have any of the active ingredients, and it may be too late for you to find that out. Drug safety is a primary concern. The FDA did some studies when Dr. Mark McClellan was commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration that showed that more than 85% of the drugs that they sampled coming in through drug importation did not meet FDA standards. Either they were contaminated, they didn't contain the proper labeling, they may not even contain the active ingredient that was needed. Drug importation is not a solution. Figuring out how we can get drugs to the American people faster and cheaper through payment policies, through understanding the value of medicine, making sure that we have regulation that is smart, making sure people get the drugs they need and that they're safe, but also making sure that there's not unnecessary delays in getting the drugs to market, because that's one of the things that drives up costs.
A lot of moving parts that's difficult to stay on top of. Grace Marie, you do it as well as anyone. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.